Welcome into another episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. And today I'm super excited because I have a guest in studio who's now going to be my podcast partner, who we're really excited to have on the Bengals and the Sports Beat. So, Jason, I will let you have the floor and introduce what you're doing for the Inquirer in case you missed it and just how involved you're going to be in terms of Bengals stuff. Just give us a little preview of what's been going on.
Well, thanks, Kelsey. Really honored to be here with you and not new to the podcast thing. It's just a different person sitting across the table. I'm moving over from being the Inquirer's political columnist and also co-host of the That's a Cincinnati podcast with Sherry Coolidge, to now being the sports columnist of the Inquirer, and now working alongside you and our Reds folks and Bearcats, Xavier, weighing in and, with commentary, on all those things and looking forward to it and very much looking forward to this podcast and, looking forward to writing about the Bengals. It's an interesting thing to sit here today as I walk into this job and to think like if I would have gotten this job a year ago and you're looking at the Bengals and it's like, okay, it's the Bengals. Mm-hmm. And now you're like, it's the Bengals.
Right. Yeah.
It's so amazing.
That's what I'm excited about us being on this podcast together is the different perspectives that we can give. And for the listeners who don't know my backstory compared to Jason's, Jason has been in Cincinnati for how many years?
I've lived here three different times. this go around, I think, is the permanent go around. I've been here since 2007. I originally am from southeast part of Ohio, went to UC, moved
go
away.
Bearcats. Yeah. Both UC, you were UC alum.
Yeah. Yeah. Here. Lacrosse, right?
Yes,
you play lacrosse?
Yes.
Yeah, because were you on the first lacrosse team?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, I was 2010 to 2014. So they had been a program for like 3 to 4 years.
Gotcha.
So, but I will put out that I was a part of the team that won its first Big East Conference game.
Nice.
So, have to shout that out when I can. But so you've been around a long time.
Yeah.
And you've, even though you've been focused on the politics, you're still a sports guy at heart.
And very much so. I was a sports writer for the first 8.5 years of my career. And
right.
Yeah.
So we've got the Cincinnati guy. And for the listeners that missed it last year, my first season covering the Bengals, I've been a sports reporter for 8 years, but my first season covering the Bengals was last year. I started my job with the Inquirer the second week of training camp, right after the first preseason game. And I could vividly remember walking up to the training camp fields for the first time. And I'm an NFL person, you'll learn on this podcast with me. I don't really care for baseball, golf, but I'm football. I'll watch college football, NFL football. I don't miss a Monday, Thursday, Sunday night game. It's I'm addicted and I can't shake it. So obviously, when you're that into it, plus I was working for an NFL team, I know a lot about different players on different teams. It's just the nature of it, especially with social media. It's easy to follow a star player now versus 10 years ago. So I would pride myself that I could go toe-to-toe with a lot of people on just general NFL knowledge. But because of the Bengals situation in that they were going through that turnover roster-wise, they were never on primetime TV, and there really wasn't a player that was a mega star. So when I grew up a Ravens fan in Baltimore. So I obviously remember the Ravens Bengals games that were Carson Palmer, Vontaze Burfict, Chad Ochocinco, those Bengals I remember. And then going to UC, I did every once in a while come down for a Bengals game. But after I left Cincinnati, for multiple reasons, I just didn't keep up with the Bengals that much. So I showed up and I was I know about this Joe Burrow guy, but is he really as good as, everybody thinks he is? Was that 10 game sample size? Because again, none of those games were on primetime. Yeah. So I never saw Joe Burrow play. I obviously watched all of his games at LSU. But so I show up and the biggest, and it's so funny, we're doing a year, what it's a year later conversation right now. When I showed up, Jason, the biggest topic was Ja'Marr Chase couldn't catch the ball.
Yes, that's and right.
And Joe Burrow was like still working his way into practice. He was like kind of still limited, but he was looking better. But it was a whole conversation of like, is he going to play in a preseason game?
And the big knee brace.
Right, and, yeah. Right. So I'm like trying to take in all of this, and I'm hearing all this chatter, and the beat writers are charting, you know, how many drops. And I'm like, I thought that guy was supposed to, Ja'Marr Chase, like, I thought he was supposed to be pretty good. So I'm like trying to comprehend all this while also, you know, when you're a beat reporter, like you're expected to know everything about the Bengals. Like, I didn't have time to ask people, hey, what's this guy's story? So like in my spare time, I'm studying the Bengals roster at night, trying to catch up on all the press clippings just so I can really ingrain myself. And I just remember it was like nobody predicted that this team would win maybe more than like 6 or 7 games. The preseason topics were, why can't Ja'Marr Chase catch the ball? Is Joe Burrow the real deal? And is this going to be Zach Taylor's final year as the coach?
Right. And he's on the hot seat.
And now we fast forward to a year later, and I'm sitting here with you just almost like laughing because I've been at every training camp practice so far, and Ja'Marr Chase looks unbelievable. Like, he's getting the ball a lot because T. Higgins isn't practicing right now, so he's getting his reps. Mm-hmm. But he looks, I mean, he is cooking Eli Apple. And I know that a lot of people feel some type of way about Eli Apple, but he's looking great. Then you have the Joe Burrow appendectomy stuff, but, you know, he'll be back. There's no worry there. And, you know, now I'm talking about what are the biggest roadblocks for this team in order to get back to the AFC Championship. And it's just
not
crazy.
Just the playoffs, the AFC Championship. Yeah.
So from your perspective, when you hear about all of that, like, what do you think when you talk about, like, is Joe Burrow going to be the real deal? Can Ja'Marr Chase catch the ball? Zach Taylor. Of those three things, Jason, what surprised you the most in terms of how the outcome changed?
Oh, goodness gracious.
I put you on the spot.
You did put me on the spot. You think back, I think that's really a good point about Ja'Marr Chase because that was such a huge storyline. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even being on the news side, like I still follow the Bengals and, you know, being living in Cincinnati all these years. And I certainly feel like I've been even more in tune to the Bengals, since Joe Burrow became the quarterback. And, you know, as I grew up in Southeast Ohio as well, you know, my hometown Gallipolis and Athens were, you know, they were rivals in the Southeastern Ohio Athletic League. And, you know, so I certainly have had, just from that connect, there's no connection there between. I haven't met Joe Burrow, and I look forward to it. But you know, you root for a kid from Southeast Ohio because you know there's just not that many athletes that have come out of there. And but to think back, probably that is the biggest, because that was the headline, and that was the thing that fans were talking about. Because, like, is this guy a bust already?
Well, but it started because he was such a polarizing topic because of remember the draft debate. Should the Bengals have taken Penei Sewell?
That's right, and the offensive lineman.
Yep. So then you've got half the Bengals camp that was like, we should have taken the offensive lineman, and then we take the receiver, and oh, he can't catch. Like, that's kind of how the whole news cycle started, and it's just like absolutely insane. I think you'll find this interesting. I was talking to the Bengals cornerbacks coach. He's actually up on our screen right now. And I was talking to him about the corners. Mm-hmm. And Chuck's coached at a number of places, most recently the Dolphins. He's a new coach on the Bengals staff. So, you know, he's had his fair share of seeing really good players. He's been a coach in the league for a while now. He said, without me even asking, when I asked, like, how is Cheeto doing? He said, well, I mean, he's doing really well, and he said, and the fact that he gets to go up against the best wide receiver in the NFL. And I said, hang on a second. I'm going to stop you right there. I'm like, you're new, so this isn't, you know, you're not a part of, like, the bias of, you know, what you saw last year from Ja'Marr Chase. Right. And I said, you really think he's the best wide receiver in the NFL? And he said, Kelsey, there is no one like him with his size and his speed. He said, there's nobody like him in the NFL currently. that can do what he do, mm-hmm. that can do what he does. And I was like, what do you mean, like, size-wise? And he was like, just the way he's so, like, physically combative. And I was like, you know, what about, like, you know, Julio Jones in his prime? He said that that would be probably the easiest comparison he would have is Julio Jones, who's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
In his prime, Falcons, yeah. And Ja'Marr Chase has earned that from this guy, the cornerback's coach, in 4 months.
And coming in from that perspective.
Yeah,
outside,
so that yeah. I find really interesting, and I wanted to share that with the yeah. listeners because, I mean, the sky truly could be the limit for what he's going to do, especially with his chemistry with Burrow.
Yeah. It is truly amazing. It's truly amazing to think about. And you think, if I could even take it back, you step back in the, even the bigger picture. So you kind of almost like Ja'Marr Chase is almost kind of the microcosm of this team mm-hmm. in some ways. Like, you know, we talk about, here's a guy, like the big story is he can't even catch the ball. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you know, he becomes the superstar mm-hmm. overnight.
Right.
And almost the same thing with this team. This team is like, we all know the story. We don't need to rehash the history of the Bengals mm-hmm. of the last 3 decades. And overnight, they're right on the cusp of a last play of being Super Bowl champions. Yeah. It's like, what?
Mm. And so I actually asked Duke Tobin at the like State of the Franchise press conference they had a couple weeks ago. I was like, are you scared of regression? Because at this point, how
now everybody's watching you.
Yeah. And he said, I actually really appreciated his honest answer. He was like, when you are 30 seconds, and that's what you just said reminded yeah. me of, when you're 30 seconds from winning the Super Bowl, the reality is regression is more predictable than not. Mm-hmm. regressing, because you can really only go one way. You can either go win the whole thing and then yeah. you're not regressing, or if you don't even make it to the Super Bowl now. So I think this is, I'd really like to get your opinion on this. What do you feel like, since we're all about the preseason takes, where do the Bengals have to get to, whether it be the playoffs, AFC Championship, Super Bowl, for this season, this upcoming season, to not seem like a regression or a step in the wrong direction? Whoa.
That's a awesome question. My initial thought when you said that was they have to get back to the AFC Championship game. I don't know if they have to win it. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like they have to get back there
right.
in order to say this isn't. Because remember, too, like, Kelsey, like, and I know you remember this because you were in the middle of it covering it. Like, you know, people were talking about how, well, this team was maybe a year or two already ahead yeah. of the game.
Right.
And like, people may have thought like, well, you know, 2022 or 2023 was when this team was really going to mm-hmm. make that big run. But I think, you know, in the NFL, to try to get back there, to try to, I mean, there are only so many, you know, the things the New England Patriots have done. Mm-hmm. They're the New England Patriots, you know?
Right.
And they're – but I think, like, if this team gets back to the AFC Championship game, no matter what, like, I think you have to sit here and say, like, that's
– okay, they're
pretty,
for real.
Pretty dang good yeah. run. Right. Yeah, exactly. They're for right. real.
That's kind of where I'm at, because I'm almost more curious to watch this season than I was last season, because now I want to know how much of it was luck, right? They're so yeah. – much of last season.
How healthy they were.
That, exactly. Yeah. That played into the Bengals' favor. And there is an element of this in the NFL. Like, it's not always the best team on paper wins the Super Bowl every year. It's the team that gets hot, that's playing at the like mm-hmm. playing their best at the right time, and that stays healthy. And so that's what I'm curious, because I look at the Bengals and I want to see if they're gonna be the next Kansas City Chiefs in that Patrick Mahomes makes that big step. They win the Super Bowl. Then the next year, they're playing for another Super Bowl. Then last yep. year, they're playing the AFC yep. Championship. Like, nobody looks at the Chiefs not winning the Super Bowl last year as like, oh, the Chiefs, you know, they couldn't get it done. It's right. like, because they just every year, they don't have an 8-8 season. So that's where I think it's going to get interesting, because if the Bengals are able to make another playoff run, then you're going to start saying, okay, things really are different around here. Mm-hmm. But I think there is a lot of pressure riding on that, because if they don't make the playoffs, then you'll have the half of the fan base that'll be like, was last year just a fluke?
Yeah.
So,
but you too, and you look at, again, building off of last season, and the franchise has addressed the problems that needed to be addressed. The offensive line.
So we think.
I mean, mm-hmm. they went out and made the effort to do that. And I it's just amazing to think, like, if you're a Bengals fan sitting here today, like, I mean, you're riding high, right?
I
mean, this is like you're in seventh heaven.
Enjoy,
I mean,
I'm
to use a cliche. I mean, but like, you're just, you're along for the ride.
Enjoy it while it lasts, because, you know, it's funny. I've been fortunate to cover two Super Bowls at this point in my career, mm-hmm. two different teams. And I've come out with no winning team. I've covered two losing teams. So hopefully I get another run on it and I get to cover the team that actually wins, gets to cover a Super Bowl parade. But I just remember when the Falcons went in 2016 and they lost to the Patriots, I never in a million years thought 2 years later the coach would get fired, the team would turn into like a 7-10 team that went, mm-hmm. after they went to the Super Bowl, they went 7-9 three straight seasons. And I just remember thinking, wow, like, things can really change.
Yeah.
Really fast.
Yeah.
And there were a number of reasons for that. Unfortunately, I think there's a lot of things that the Bengals have on their side to ensure like that doesn't happen. But I just remember being like, wow, things can really change quick. And, you know, who knows when they, like, the Falcons will get back to that level if they ever do. But I mean, when talking about Bengals fans riding high, it's like, this is the time to be a fan. And if you are, I'd be all in now, because you just never know what could happen.
It's amazing you say that, because I'm sitting here as I'm trying to get reacquainted and learn more and more in depth in the job, the sports column job. That it's interesting you say that, because, you know, I'm learning, I'm picking up with the Reds, and if I were to say, and from a fandom standpoint, you know, I'm a huge college football fan, I'm a huge baseball fan, I watched the NFL for just the storylines, certainly the story of the Bengals is just amazing, but to think, like, the difference between the Bengals fan and the Reds fan, the NFL fan and the baseball fan, is that things can change really quickly for the Bengals fan.
Or
things cannot really for the Reds baseball fan.
Or how about this? Things can't ever get better than they did for UC football. That's another angle we could talk about.
Yeah.
Last year was essentially the Bengals getting to the Super Bowl. And for UC, it was essentially if college football had a Super Bowl. Because now you look at it, you look at the Bearcats schedule this year, and you know way more about UC football than I do. I'm a fan of UC football, but I do not cover it nearly as close as I do my actual beat.
Yeah.
But I know by looking at the schedule, they don't really have any major games against like top programs. And I think because of the way that they lost to Alabama in the college football playoffs, and then the fact that they're kind of in this conference now that nobody really respects, and then, you know, they're going to be moving to the Big 12. Like, I don't think we will ever see a season like that from the Bearcats. So it really is, like, if you want optimism in the city of Cincinnati for sports, like, you really only have the Bengals.
Yeah. Yeah, you're that's right. And, you know, you think about a buddy of mine had a ticket, extra ticket for the UC Notre Dame game last year.
I went.
And you were there? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Great. Yeah. And I was like, man, I was debating whether to go. And then I'm like, you know what? This is – you got to live. You got to, like, because
they may never happen again.
Yeah, they may never play Notre Dame again. And it turns out, you look back on that season, and
that was
they may never beat Notre Dame again, and they may never play them again, and they may never go back to where they were. And that's, again, even when they're in the Big 12 and when they're at sort of the so-called top of the food chain in college football, they still may never go back to the college football playoff. And so you're exactly right. Yeah, like, you sit here and you could sit here and think, I'm sure there were lots and lots of Bengals fans, tens of thousands of them, sitting here at what, this time in 1989, thinking, maybe the columnists and the beat reporter were having this same conversation. Yeah. I have no idea. There weren't podcasts then, but, you know, and thinking, and Bengals fans are thinking like, this is just the start.
Yeah.
And they didn't go back until, you know, this year. It's crazy.
Or that they hadn't even won a playoff game until this past year. And now we're talking about, like, if they don't make it back to the AFC Championship, the season's a bust.
Right, right.
It's just funny how the landscape has changed. Well, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Yeah. I know you'll probably have a better answer for this time around next year after covering the Bengals more closely. But whether it's Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, Zach Taylor, the whole operation behind how they've kind of built this team, what are some of the things that you're most excited to learning more about as the columnist when you're going to be closer to the Bengals?
Well, I'm excited to, you know, like just learn more about, you know, the leadership and the whole – what's the right word? I'm looking, the whole aura of Joe Burrow. And I know that there's slots have been written and lots have talked, and you guys have done great stories on him and his influence on the franchise. But I'm really interested to, like, you know, have those conversations with, you know, the front office folks and the coaching staff and anyone who's around Joe Burrow. If I, you know, I can talk to him just to learn more about just how he's been able to influence the decision making of this franchise as what essentially is, I mean, he's in his third season, but you know, he's still a young guy. And I mean, I am blown away by that, that level of respect, that level of leadership. And I think whatever profession it is, like for someone like himself to walk into that industry and have that kind of respect is, you know, this is rare. And I think it's a fascinating storyline that's going to continue to unfold. And I'll look forward to your coverage. And, you know, and I want to compliment, you know, the things I do. I want to compliment what you do. And, you know, we always had that on the news side when, you know, as a columnist, you know, I would compliment the work that Sherry Coolidge would do on City Hall. Yeah,
Shout out to her and I
were just talking.
I'm a big Sherry fan.
I know, and she said the same thing about you. She's like, I love Kelsey, and like, because you guys had worked together on a story recently, and so that's certainly a huge thing. You know, I'll probably, you know, continue to write about some of the stadium issues, and I want folks who, the fans who listen, to realize, like, you know, that I can silo these things out. Like, you know, you've got the stadium issue, which I've been critical on. And, you know, that has nothing to do necessarily with the on-field product or what Joe Burrow does in a game or doesn't do in a game. And so, you know,
you see it.
Yeah. And right. And there might be pieces of the stadium process that I praise or criticize, or, you know, but certainly, you know, that does that have anything to do with Zach Taylor's decision in the fourth quarter of the Monday Night Football game coming up against the Browns? Like, no, you know, and so, you know, you sort of silo those things out, and you have to have a thick skin. And, you know, I just have had that ability as a columnist to be able to do that. Like, it's not personal. It's not, it's you know, it's not like, oh, I'm going to write, like, it's not a game, you know, you're not playing games. Like, oh, I'm going to write this to try to intentionally piss this person off. Like, no, that's not the job. And, you know, there's one person on Twitter that asked me, like, something I wrote like earlier this year on politics or whatever, and said, like, you know, like, I think you wake up every morning thinking, like, who are you going to piss off today? And I'm like, no, that's never ever. That has never actually crossed my mind. Yeah. And honestly, like, if that does cross my mind, I shouldn't be doing this job, because that's not what the job is. And I'm really excited to dig in and you know, get to know you and get to know you know, the Bengals, and you know, same thing with Bobby over on the Reds and Keith on the Bearcats, and Adam on Xavier and Pat on FC Cincinnati. And, you know, I certainly think the job is, you know, I kind of look at it as like the big three, and obviously it's Bengals, Reds and Bearcats, probably really right now, Bearcats football.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then maybe a Big Four when you can lump in college basketball and put UC and Xavier in that kind of category. But, yeah, there's a lot to dive into here and a lot to write about.
There'll never be a shortage of topics for us to talk about.
I mean, exactly. And there's even things like
keeps running at all days and months of the year, but it'll be really exciting that we can, you know, kind of talk about it. And I think what's going to make like us an interesting dynamic and one that hopefully our listeners will like is I have absolutely no bias towards the Bengals. Yeah. I'm not a fan, didn't grow up here. I call it how it is. When there's really good stories to tell, I want to tell them. When things are going well, I explain why they're going well. And if they're not going well, I'm going to explain why they're not going well. Like, I don't have any agenda. There's nothing in me that's like, I'm too much of a fan that I can't see and I'm watching through rose-colored glasses. Like, that is not how I am, and that's honestly been really refreshing because I have no emotional attachment to the Bengals. And when I worked for a team, obviously I was getting paid by them. I was closer to the players, coaches, staff, and you were like, the better the team did, the better your job was. Whereas, of course, I want the Bengals to do well. It's so fun to cover. Like last year, covering the playoffs, you know, as a sports reporter, like that's your dream. Like that's you. We all get into this business because we have a passion for sports and a passion for storytelling.
Yep.
And so obviously, you know, who doesn't want the Bengals to repeat what they did last year? But from our perspective, it's not like you're coming at it. I think there's sometimes with columnists, people, just like you said, people think like it's an automatic, like negative thing. And, you know, like you're going to call it how you see it. When they deserve to be praised, you'll praise them. When they don't, they don't. Same. My coverage is totally neutral. Yeah. And I just try to really just like supply our listeners and our fans with the information. And then what they choose to do with that is not whatever. Mine. Like, for example, Jesse Bates. I mean, I've been asked a number of times, like, what do I think is going to happen? And I'm like, I don't know. And I don't care. Like, my job is to report if he's there or not, why he's not there. What happens if he doesn't show up? But as far as like, do I think if it's going to be a really big issue, you know, we'll see. Like, I just kind of, that's not really my style, which I think it's going to be good for us because we're just going to like keep it real on the podcast, which is going to be great.
Exactly. And people should know, like, this is the first time you and I
have chatted. Haven't even met. Like,
so this is cool. This is fun. And you know, I think that this is a great way to meet you and talk. And I have one, I do have one question for you.
Sure.
Because how do you feel about covering the beat today as you did? When you walked in, what'd you say? You walked in after the second preseason game last year. I always think it takes a year to really kind of, you know, get locked in on a beat. I mean, I've always felt like every beat I've ever done, politics, sports, I was a business reporter for a little bit. I never really felt comfortable until at least a year in.
I can't even express how much more comfortable I am every aspect. And I don't think, like I mentioned, I don't think I really – it was like one of those things when I started, I was so focused on just learning the team and just really – becoming the best that I could be. Like, I didn't really give myself a grace period. I didn't use the, like, oh, I messed up this person's name because I didn't, you know. Like, I was like, no, I'm all in. I need to learn this. But, of course, like, there was still things that it takes time to know. Like, I'm still learning about the history behind things. So people want to talk about, like, for example – I wrote a story about Tyler Boyd yesterday and why I think like he's basically a bargain for the Bengals based off of how the wide receiver market has exploded compared to like what he makes. But it was interesting when I was doing some research on that, I started listening to people talk about and read things about how the Bengals don't typically give out a third contract for players that are like above 30 years old. So when Tyler Boyd, I think he's 27 right now, when his contract's up in 2 years, he'll be 29, and we'll obviously have a lot of time to talk about this. But, like, will he get the third contract? So, like, those are all things that I'm still learning, like the history of who the Bengals have paid three times, like those types of things. But from a sheer, I am on the pulse of this team, I feel leaps and beyond more comfortable. And, I mean, I hope it shows in my reporting for the listeners and our readers, but I feel so much more comfortable. There's not a player I don't feel like I can talk to. The Bengals have a great locker room full of really respectful guys. You'll really enjoy getting to know them. But as far as just also like, shoot, I was trying to learn the starters last year. And and then in training camp, you got to know the third, the fourth, and the fifth string. Like, you know, if you were to ask me two players that I think might be on the bubble right now, I could tell you right away. Whereas last year, I would have been like, well, let me look at my roster and see who I circled from practice. Right. So I'm so much more comfortable. There's been so many really helpful people at the Inquirer that have really helped me. Kareem, Sam, Charlie, Jason, like everybody has really helped me. But as far as just like comfort, I'm so much more comfortable, and it like really excites me because I just kept always saying to Jason Hoffman, like, just give me a little bit and then I'm gonna like crush this.
Yep.
But I just needed to learn. But now, I mean, I think I learned pretty fast. I have a photographic memory, so I can like learn stats pretty quickly. Yeah. But there's definitely some times I remember I walked up my first practice and I'm like, so is 85 Tyler Boyd and 83 is T. Higgins. Like, I had to keep looking down because, you know, they're kind of tall and similar if you see them from the back. Now I'm like, oh my God, Kelsey, how did you not know that? Like, T's 3 feet bigger than him. But it was just funny because it was just like so much and they don't have names on that. Yeah. So it's just numbers. So, yeah, so much more comfortable and really looking forward to taking that comfort and how do I make it, you know, next level.
And a lot of good people too. And they were like, you know, Mike Brown, like, is such a nice guy.
So nice.
Like,
the Blackburns, Katie, Elizabeth,
Zach Taylor,
the PR department,
Dan Horde, like, I mean, just Lap, like such PJ. Just like good people. And I, you know, when you have good people like that on a beat, you're kind of like, that makes it so much better. Cause when you're dealing with, you know, difficult people and many difficult people, it can be tough. I've been there before. I have one other question for you, because you played college, like you talked about lacrosse at UC. So you played at the highest level of college athletics. How was that experience as an athlete and playing at such a high level? How has that helped you in your career? Like what kind of lessons or things you've taken from that you apply in your career as a reporter?
I think it directly correlates. Like, I've been asked this in different ways. And I always say that hopefully I'm lucky enough to have kids soon, someday.
Yeah.
But I would 100% want them to, if they choose to be into it and they like it, have them play a college sport, because what I learned from just like a personal responsibility standpoint of like how to be accountable to your teammates, you know, having something that you have to show up for every day at the same time, rules to follow, and then just like the competitive nature. Like, I am so competitive. Like, I want to be the best sports reporter, not just in Cincinnati, in the country. I want to be the best beat reporter. And I try, like, I'll sit at night, and if like someone else has information that I don't, in my head I'm like, dang it, like, how do I get that next time?
Yep.
And I think all of that is translatable to my lacrosse background and playing in college, because I wanted to do whatever it took to win. And we didn't win a lot of games, and it drove me nuts because there weren't always people that had the same drive that I did. And I'd be like, why don't you want to win as much as me? But the best part about this job is that I can, to an element, like make it my own and be like all in and gung ho. Yeah. And I just want to win and celebrate winning. And like, I mean, you would think when I get to break his story, we're like the T. Higgins feature that me and Sam did, which he did a wonderful job with like the imagery. If you haven't read that story, Bengals fans, you need to, because you will become a T. Higgins fan. But like, I just remember being like, I felt like I won a game after that, because it was just like we knocked it out of the park. And so there's
this big exclusive piece.
There's so many correlations to being a college athlete and playing at that level to now. And it's truly why I'm like, I don't know what else I'd do if I wasn't doing this job, which is why, like, people say, like, you wake up with the same passion. I really do. Like, I haven't had one bad day where I'm like, I really don't want to cover the Bengals today. So it's fun.
Love it. We're going to have some fun.
We are.
Yeah. This is going to be great.
So to give everyone a preview, Jason and I will be weekly giving you our thoughts on the games, what's going on with the team. So you'll be hearing from us a good amount on a weekly basis. So we hope that you give us feedback on social media. I'm on social media all the time. Jason, I don't know how much you want fan input, but if there's certain things you like that we talk about, topics, feel free to
And bring it, because it's I'm used to it. I have thick skin. Haven't covered politics. Mm-hmm. I'm at J Williams Cincy on Twitter with a Y. At J Williams Cincy with a Y on Twitter, or email jwilliams@inquire.com.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Well, hit us up, and I'm going to take Jason to practice. We're going to go over and get him acclimated with the Bengals and everything. But we will be back next week, and hopefully by then you'll have been able to see a couple training camp practices. Yep. We'll even be talking about preseason football, which I can't believe is here. And yeah, we'll just leave it at that. All right. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next week.